This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We've brought in 3 or 4 new signings who will feature tomorrow. And it's whether I throw them all in. That's what I get paid for, so let's hope I make the right decision.
My old man said.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's one of our little extra shows where we're out and about in a bar, this time the Village Inn. This isn't a plug, by the way, because we have to pay for our own beer. But joining me as usual is Dan Rogers from the Villa Underground. Welcome, Dan.
Welcome. I am officially in recovery mode from the Brentford experience.
Well, I'm immune to anything like a Villa loss, but this particular one was a little bit humiliating, but we'll get on to that in a second. This show, we're just basically going to catch up today because the last proper show, so if you're tuning in for the first time, this is not how we normally do it. So it's a lot more professional as we pretend that we're in a studio, but this is more getting a quick hour lunchtime pint in, although it's a bit of a late lunch today. But anyway, so we'll just come up to speed. We'll talk about the transfers a bit on Brentford, and then we'll go into those in depth in the next proper show, which should be out on Tuesday. So, Dan, we'll talk about transfers first. Let's have a bit of an origin story. Tony Zai came into town. Villa were just about to appoint Nigel Pearson, and that's a fact. Tony Zai didn't think he was sexy enough, as we always like to say. Tony Zai likes sexy managers.
He went for sexy Bruce.
He brought in RDM, gave him $55 million to spend. RDM didn't work out. Bruce comes in. I think, I know he was top of a 10-man list that Keith Wynas and Steve Round put together. So I think kind of a reluctancy on Tony Zai's part, because obviously he would have been considered the first time round. Anyway, got him in. The Messiah is here. I think this window was, in terms of the turnaround, 8 players in, 8 players out. And we're in a situation where I think people were getting quite giddy as usual. I mean, Sky have obviously made the transfer window into something which almost represents, it's like Christmas for football fans. And so a lot of Villa fans now see Tony Zai as like a Santa Claus figure. There were some people on Twitter wanting to do a mosaic of Tony Zai on the Holt end. We're 14th in the championship, and he's already gone through one manager, and we've just sent out 22 million's worth of the 55 million that we got in the summer.
Christmas is a time for giving. That's what you've got to remember. And our gift to Nottingham is Ross McCormack. And
who's the other chap? I think he played about 10 minutes combined, Tish Bowler.
Yeah, Tish Bowler. That's the big question mark around what was...
What were they doing? But saying that, I mean, we're talking from hindsight here. At the time, you thought that's pretty... I mean, there was, my personal point of view, there was two question marks on the signings. One was Tish Bowler because of his injuries and his lack of first-team experience. And the other one was Gilini. So, no surprises kind of there. But I think the big... Let's talk about the striking situation, because I think that is the big conundrum. I mean, Ross McCormack, we know... there's personal issues there. Which I know about, but I can't tell you. And I don't know what the deal is. Do you know the deal with what Forest are actually paying?
Half of his wages, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's 45 grand a week, and I think they're footing half.
because there's no way they were going to pay the full amount. So I knew it was part payment, but I don't know. You know, I haven't read exactly how much it is.
But tonight we've seen the response from McCormack, the first interview with the local. I think it was with a Scottish newspaper actually, and it's been sort of filtered out since. But the view is that he wasn't saying he didn't miss training, he was just late. I mean, the fact is he didn't get out of his gates or out of bed.
Isn't there a quote about that it was too high to jump and he didn't want to risk breaking his ankle or something?
This was the infamous four foot.
Yeah,
six.
Well, I think that's what he said in the quote. Well,
I mean, Chad Wren might get stuck on the other side of the fence, but the you know, full grown man like McCormack.
But, you know, just throw a mattress down the other side and do it. I mean, how much are you getting paid? If he was getting paid 45 million, that's speculation.
45 million? Tony's like, he's ambitious and generous.
45,
a good leader.
45,000 a week.
Put that on a mosaic.
Then I'm sure you can afford a couple of mattresses thrown the other side of the gate to dive over. But no, let's try to get some structure into this. I mean, that's the biggest mistake. And in terms of if he has got personal problems, I mean, Fulham, obviously, what are they going to do? They're not going to tell, admit to anything, are they? As the same that we did with probably Forrest.
Yeah. No, everything's fine.
He's fine. Over it now. It's just
he's over that fence.
He's over that fence. He fell out with Bruce, that's why we can't use him anymore. Don't worry about it. He's good to go. He looked a mess in that picture.
He didn't.
Holding up the Forest shirt, he looked...
Didn't look in good nick, did he?
He looked like he'd been sleeping rough for about a week. That's true.
It is true. He did. I don't know what to say about that. It wasn't...
It's all right. It's not libelous.
What is there to say? He's not going to be winning...
Any beauty pageants.
No. Maybe more sleep and less...
Yeah. Well, anyway, less let's something. Move on. So the situation is... After pursuing Jordan Rhodes all that time and only offering six million, and I thought the logic was there to get him in on loan or if you can get him on the cheap, get him on the cheap.
Well, I thought he didn't want to come.
Well, that was just because I said that.
No. I that was definitely my idea. And then he turns up in Sheffield. I wonder whether...
And that looks like it's going to be a permanent move after the loan. I think it was just a loan in the meantime, just because that was quicker on the paperwork.
Maybe it was that Villa took a view that he was a little bit older than Hogan in comparison.
Come on, it's like a year or two, yeah.
A little, marginally, but I mean...
Not enough to make any decision on that.
No.
And Hogan...
Has no knees. Never affected McGrath.
So I think Rhodes, I think, was definitely first choice out of those two.
That's a puzzle, isn't it, actually, when you think about it?
So now you're in a situation where you didn't get that player, and player Hogan, Brian. Because that West Ham move... fell down, and this Villa thing was a late move, so I don't know, do you think Hogan would have gone to anybody else? I think he probably would have stayed at Brentford and moved on in the summer.
Not for that money, and I think 15 million was the thing that was quoted as being like the top end with everything factored in.
Yeah.
More realistically, 9 + 3 I think is what's been
reported
through.
That's the figure. I've
still
been,
a lot of money.
I've been
still
going
a lot of money.
But the situation is now we've got Hogan, but there's two teams that we can... I mean, let's talk about we've still got a chance of the playoffs. Let's pretend, hypothetically. There's two teams we can haul back, and that's probably Derby and Sheffield Wednesday. And Sheffield Wednesday have now got the player that we were hoping to use to get us back into this. And if he clicks on fire, that'll be Sheffield Wednesday out of sight. So we'll just have to rely on the magical McLaren suddenly turning bad.
Well, the Wally with the Brolly suddenly looks... invincible, doesn't he? I mean, they've been on that crazy run, and they're...
So, I mean, the two teams that we'd have to try to hold back are two teams that were in the playoffs last year, and they look pretty solid, and everybody was tipping them to be there, so I don't think it looks good, does it?
Well, we're the only team in the division that's gone through two transitional periods in 6 months, you know, the need to... You know, all those people we spent millions of pounds on, let's just push them under that carpet and...
Yeah,
reinvest.
I think the whole idea of us getting into the playoffs is just us feeling that we're Aston Villa and we should be there. But the reality is we saw it against Brentford, and we'll get onto that. Let's just go through the signings. Scott Hogan, what's your initial thoughts on that?
Massive money, massive potential, massive risk with injury. That's how I.
He actually looks like when I saw him interviewed, I thought he looks like a Sunday League player.
Oh, God.
But he's quite nippy. He's more fox. But is he? I mean, we were talking about using McCormack as a link to get into this, but what I wanted to say was essentially that's what we wanted McCormack to be. He's simply just replaced McCormack.
Well, exactly. If there's issues there, I mean, clearly we've had to bite the bullet in terms of fee and take on the risk with the injury factor. And
so we've pretty much spent over 20-odd million on a forward.
It's staggering money. There's no getting away from it. And the fact is that West Ham went, not worth the risk, and they've got potentially more riding on it in the sense that they've been flirting around the bottom third of the Premier League, haven't they?
They got hammered by Manchester City as well.
So, absolutely wanting to come in and do well. He scores goals, but he has had two horrendously long layoffs as well.
Just from what's going on at the moment, or what's been going on in some of the purchases and how they've kind of backfired, I'm not going to hang my hat on him being a super success at the moment. Anyway, let's move on. Sorry about the doom and gloom.
On to more positive things.
Who should we talk about next? Let's talk about this Jordan Ayew, Neil Taylor plus 5 million. Let's take Ayew out the situation at the moment. How much would you have bought Neil Taylor for? I think like a million, two?
Yeah, he's. It's always concerning when opposition fans... There was a bit of a Westwood reaction in Swansea, wasn't there? It was kind of like, thank you very much, see you, Taylor.
Well, he fell out with the manager, didn't he? He got substituted in the first half. I think it was a game against Chelsea.
Yeah.
And he wasn't happy about that.
It says a lot about what we think about Amavi, to be honest, and all the people... All of our fans and suitors. The suitors from Europe disappeared, didn't they, quite quickly on his current form?
Well, in China. That 25 million and Tony Zai coming out, that was just complete bullshit. And if somebody offered 25 million for Jordan Amavi, and if you turned it down, then you should just resign as the owner of Aston Villa. Because that is blindness.
Well, that's why it didn't happen. And it was 25 million in Zimbabwean
currency,
dollars,
yeah,
I think.
In zloty or something. But no, what I was getting at with the Taylor is he's not worth that much. A million and a half, let's say. And plus five, so Swansea, I think, have got Jordan Ayew at a good price.
I think they have. There's potential there. Flip it on its head. How low did Aston Villa value Ayew? What does that say?
Yeah.
I think that they looked at Taylor. They got an offer of 5 million quid. I think the 5 million quid's the sweetener, to be honest, because that's probably how much I'd value Ayew at.
Would you?
Yeah, I don't...
How much did they get him for?
8.5 million. Have we seen 8.5 million pounds worth of football?
Well, no, I'm not... I mean, if we can sell Westwood for 5 million, we can sell Ayew for at least 7.
But clearly there were some psychotic drugs in Burnley circulating at the time, because they've...
But I mean, no, but
I
in
wish
terms
Westwood
of AU,
all the
but
the
in
best.
Terms of AU, considering we've lost money on that one. I mean, because there's no way that Taylor's worth 3.5.
Nah.
So that's one.
Well, that's why I think we've got 5 million quid, because he's not worth anywhere near 5 million quid.
Thing about AU,
he was on a long contract as well. Don't forget what was he on?
Well, he was on half his wages, so his wages got half. That's why he wanted out.
Ah, right. Of course, he was one of the relegation clause ones, wasn't he? Wonder whether that's the reason Amavi wants to walk. Actually.
Yeah, what I forgot to mention at the top of the show was I had a meeting with Steve Bruce as part of the fan consultation group, and the previous podcast was actually recorded before that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But also, some of the stuff I will be saying is kind of informed by that meeting. I mean, when I met him, let's put it this way, we knew AU was going to go.
Yeah, it was clear on
just
that.
From our conversations. Same with McCormack. The only surprise with McCormack going was actually to find somebody for him to go to. Forest, absolute...
The chairman's desperate for any good news, isn't
they're it? In the shit, so not a bad deal, because if suddenly McCormack discovers his will to play, then...
Well, when he was holding up that Forest shirt, he didn't look like someone able to play. to be honest, I mean, again, I wish, you know, I want him to come good, but
yeah,
I can't see it. I don't know what I just don't get a good feeling there.
And next season he's 31, and I mean, that's just disastrous business by Villa.
It is for a regime that said it wasn't going to be making the same sort of financial errors, because we will be bogged down by the financial fair play for that's the accounting for that.
Yeah, we're not going to sell him.
Nah,
at any decent price. He's suddenly the new Nzogbia stroke Gabby.
Wow. Don't use the N-word.
Sorry. Where is he? Occasionally I'll try to track him down. It came up as if he was going... Sorry, we're talking about Nzogbia. It popped up that he was at some Indian Super League team, but that didn't kind of... It was on Wikipedia, but it didn't back up anywhere.
Yeah, that's not...
So it was like
Wikipedia is not our most reliable source.
No, I'm not talking about it being sacrosanct, but it was that was the first clue, and then it went dead. So no idea. If you've seen Charles, let us know. Anyway, let's move on. So AU, I think he's somebody. He's still somebody good enough. He'll score. He'll come on for Swansea and score a great goal, and we'll see it on the Match of the Day highlights. And loads of fans will be on Twitter saying, "Why did we let him go?"
But, and then he'll do nothing for 3 months.
But I'm happy with him going. I have no problems there.
No.
I think Codger kind of, he's kind of similar into, not in terms of as a the type of player, but he kind of quite selfish. Also can be brilliant, but also can be a bit in that selfishness, can kind of not really impact as much as he could do.
I think Codger's similar in the sense that he can be very single-minded, and his directness can be misinterpreted sometimes for greed. I do think Codger can isolate himself, though, which is different to AU, who will just sort of sulk around the pitch, I used to think. Codger will at least run or try.
From that meeting with Bruce, there's one thing he did say above most of the things was, he said, I like to play 4-4-2 for the championship. I like to play two up top.
We do need to switch.
So we're going, obviously, for Codger and Hogan. So, I mean, I have no idea where will that work as a partnership or not. But they are two different players. I mean,
I think Hogan
would probably work better with more of a Justed, for example. Somebody who can knock it down. So I don't know if... Are they two strikers that can play as a pair? Because Codger, as we said, is quite single-minded.
Well, they have to, really, because our other options are Gabby, rookie striker who wants away because of his contract being up, Invisible Man Kozak, and what else we got up front? Is that it? That's the lot now, isn't it? McCormack's gone, AU's gone, Justed's gone.
There was six, and that included Justed and AU. McCormack, whatever.
Whatever.
Let's move on to the midfield buys. Now, on paper, it was kind of hallelujah time. And in that meeting with Bruce, we did talk about Hourihane quite a lot, and he did see him as the remedy to a lot of our ills, be it the set piece taking goals from midfield as well. And also in the assist department. So I think he was probably most excited about Hourihane than any of the other acquisitions this winter. But against Brentford,
we were overrun. And I think where we really struggled at Brentford was that we played the three centre midfielders. If Bruce wants this 4-4-2, well, Bjarnason...
Well, he got a bit of a slating, didn't he? Because he hadn't played for 6 weeks. Off the pace.
Well, you were... Criticised Bruce time, I suppose. What? Why did he do that?
Well, Bruce said he played a couple of reserve games.
Yeah, come on. I think it was a stupid thing, and the guy looked immediately off the pace, not just physically, but he couldn't... It's the pace of English football as well. It's that you don't get that extra half a second that you maybe do in the Swiss Super League, and just because you put the word Super League in front of it doesn't mean it's
any quicker.
No. So, I don't know. I think what that caused was you had Lansbury and Hourihane got deeper and deeper and deeper for a... And they were playing chase ball, I think, because they were carrying a guy who wasn't match fit. Not his fault, by the way.
Fans have started, again, in retrospect, saying, nobody said this before the game, apart from one of my old man said writers who, in the column Three Ways to Win, which there's always some smart ass that says on social media, by scoring more goals than them.
Yeah, I won't do that anymore.
He actually said there was a danger of playing every new acquisition because they wouldn't have had time to obviously know what each other's doing. And he said, so... You would expect Hutton to start over Bree and Green to play instead of Bjarnason, but Green and Hutton did start, so he picked that one well. But the thing is, he was kind of right, but at the same time, because we got rid of a load of players, there wasn't much option. I mean, if he didn't play Hourihane and Bjarnason, there would have been an uproar against that. And let's face it, he didn't have much other options.
He didn't have much other option, and I think that's where not getting in a Rhodes earlier or sealing the deal for Hogan. That's why we've had to act on Hogan, because we were too limited in that formation, that even when we had the ball and got the ball against Brentford, there was no one. Codger was on his own, wasn't he? And we had no way of changing our shape, and they overran us, actually, for long periods of that game.
Well, we have to bear in mind that we've done our business very late in the transfer window.
Yep.
When we got lucky with the Bristol game that was put back to February.
Yep.
And that would have been another game I don't think we'd have won. So,
I wouldn't have been confident of winning. I mean, this is a scary state of affairs.
What
actually.
Are we doing? We're not doing enough forward planning, or if we are forward I mean, Tony Zai's tweeting that we got all the business that we wanted to do, and if it was that kind of clear, why wasn't it done a bit sooner?
Well, we couldn't have done, because look at that. I mean, we spoke about it in the last pod with the African Cup of Nations, that we promised ourselves a loan striker from 6 months ago, and actually we arrived into January with Agbon Lahore and, you know, the only other senior striker being Kozak.
Yeah.
Fact. So, planning, well, zero, really.
Talk about future planning. I'd probably expect James Bree to start against Forest, wouldn't you agree?
Fullbacks against Brentford were just absolutely shocking. And there's two ways of looking at this. We've known Hutton isn't capable of helping us to regenerate and become a promotion side. Amavi's so bereft of form that not having an option to swap.
Yeah.
You know, that's where Taylor, you know, for all the jokes and the happiness that Swansea are showing, it becomes an immediate consideration for pick, because our fullback, they have been circled by every single opposition over the last month and they have hurt us repeatedly.
Yeah, like Paul Lambert, big circle over Amavi.
All night long they targeted
him. The way they went.
And neither of them helped themselves. I mean, where Hutton gets some credit back, he tries very hard. And where Amavi loses a credit is when he gets the ball and he doesn't have a pass on, he just humps it up the pitch. And
so
you might as well kick into the stand.
So would you go for Bree and Taylor in the next game? I mean, I don't think Taylor's played this season, has he?
Well, you've got a match fitness issue again there.
I mean, I'd play Bree.
Well, Bree can't
just
be...
Just because I don't want to see Hutton again.
Reason enough.
And Jacob Bidou from Bury... We're signing players from Bury, Brentford and Barnsley. That's
Listen, he was released from the Leighton Orient Academy, so you need to check yourself. It's like Barcelona's... Is it La Masia? I've heard.
He's not one for now anyway, is he? Unless he's only played 7 games or so for Bury.
Again,
season.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and profess to be having been watched the depths of League One football. The things that you've picked up on, there's some couple of good write-ups on him. He's actually played very little first-team football, but what he's done is he's shown that he's head and shoulders above. Good little signing.
We'll probably go and watch him in the under-23s in the next few weeks.
So we can
inform some kind of opinion and tell you guys, especially you guys in Australia and America, who are never going to see an under-23 game anytime soon.
You lucky buggers.
We go out and do the research for you. Just finally on the ins, quickly, Sam Johnson, a lot of people saying why replacing an experienced goalkeeper with an inexperienced goalkeeper, which I think is a fair enough comment.
Fair comment. I think what you've got with him is, I don't think he was to blame for any of the goals against Brentford, for instance, but he is an inexperienced, will count against him. I think that there was one that sailed over his head that could have quite easily gone in at the far post at one point, and there was a bit of a fumble when I think the butty got in some confusion with Chester. But he cuts a more imposing figure. He needs to catch the ball over punching, though. That's one thing he does.
And also, you know, you need games as well.
I feel more confident with him between...
Yeah, he needs games. I mean, how many games has he played?
Less than 10.
For Villa, I mean.
No, but that's one. But
Johnson, he made his debut against Spurs. He's only played 3.
Well, there we are.
Well, yeah, less than 10.
Less than 10, so
you
I was completely...
You played it safe there.
I have to appear as an authority figure on this matter.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's just talk about just some of the other ones that have left. That Westwood leaving, I mean, that was, from everything I heard, I mean, at this meeting with Bruce, and this wasn't Bruce talking, but other people at the club were saying that within Villa, they were still trying to make Westwood the man in midfield, and I was expecting him to be even above Jedinak in terms of if they played a midfield three, for example. And there was a feeling they didn't want to sell him to another championship team because they thought that he would be a threat, as in making that team better.
Well, I really don't know about that.
But getting rid of him to a Premier League team, and for $5 million, I didn't see that one coming, to be honest. They were after him earlier on, weren't they?
They tried to get him in the summer. It suits all parties. I think with Westwood, when a player becomes as toxic as he has done for so many fans, it's not necessarily right, but Westwood had a couple of decent games recently, and I think we acknowledged it on this podcast. But
even my barber today, who's a Blues fan,
you said... You say your hairdresser, then?
I was going to, but he's okay. But it says barber above the door, okay. So I better go with the appropriate name. He's a Blues fan, and the first thing he said when we got onto the subject of Westwood, he said, Westwood... Shit. He said he's only played one good game, when that was the semi-final against
Liverpool.
You're
talking about Westwood or Grealish? Westwood. Oh, okay.
So here's somebody who's not a Villa fan who says exactly what Villa fans say.
Yeah. Well, football fans know football as well, and I think that people... We're desperate to find the good in things where necessarily it doesn't exist as well.
This has happened, and I think some fans have been far too sentimental on most of these players. I mean, I keep saying this, but I've had one mantra on that squad that got us relegated on 7 points, and that was, you can get rid of them all. Grealish, Gusted, Jordan Ayew, Hutton. Who else is going to be good that was in that team?
We signed Lescott. I mean, I know that...
Get rid of them all.
He was West Brom's player of the season. Doesn't say a lot. But, I mean, just going back to Westwood, I think that the thing about him was that he tried very hard. He ran around a lot, but he never improved us.
Yeah, and people gave him brownie points for trying and showing some emotion when we got relegated. Well, time for that kind of sentiment's over. We're in the shit here, guys, and we've got to get out of here. And people like him and Hutton and Bakuna should be shed like a cheap snakeskin.
They're an expensive snakeskin, actually, when you look at their fees and combined...
No, Ross McCormack is an expensive snakeskin that we've got to shed. Sissoko, well, I think that's fair enough. I don't think he was ever going to play, even though potentially he was maybe the best defensive left-back at Villa.
You can't work out... Well, yeah, it's the classic, isn't it, that he was probably...
But he was like Hutton going forward.
Yeah, he was hopeless. The thing about Sissoko was he was very physically imposing, but his distribution was terrible as well, so he would impose himself upon the play, get the ball back, and then you could rely upon him not finding a Villa shirt. It was...
Well, I mean, at least I can tell my grandkids that I saw Sissoko score a winner for Aston Villa against Telford.
I was sat here thinking, what a winner?
When did that happen?
Your drinking's out of control, David.
It was also a game that Hepburn Murphy came on as sub, and we were 1-0 down, and he turned the whole game. And that's also the only good game I've ever seen Hepburn Murphy have. So going back to that all out, he can leave as well, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm not bothered about that.
Tish Bowler, I think that's fair enough. I think...
Is he only on loan?
Forest,
yeah. No view to a permanent then.
Yeah, but...
It's one of those, isn't it, where you wonder whether it could turn...
He's got a bit of an attitude... Not an attitude problem, as in he's a pain in the ass, but I think he's a bit immature, a bit like Gallini, where I don't think he really knuckled down like he should have done.
Yeah, I don't imagine Bruce would stand for anything, and the job that we've got on requires people to dig in.
Yeah, but for Forrest, if he's going to prove himself, I think he's in a team that needs some inspiration there. Mm. So if he has got anything about him, then I think he's at the perfect club to prove it. So it's up to him, essentially.
Toner. I mean, Toner's gone to Bradford. A quick one on him, because I've got...
He was getting a bit of gameplay.
He was. I got some close Warsaw friends and family. Bad news on Toner. Didn't rate him.
Yeah?
Didn't rate him. I think Warsaw are actually quietly quite a good team at their level, and wasn't a standout performer. If you look at some of the players that have gone on loan at Warsaw and then where they've gone on, not necessarily to the top end of English football, but they weren't hugely impressed. And I think what the view that they had is that he probably needed more game time, and I imagine that's why he's gone straight back out on loan to Bradford, really.
So this situation where we've essentially had 8 in, 8 out, here's a question for you. 8-a-side game, the 8 players that are in, that have come into Villa, versus the 8 players that have gone out, Who would win?
Well,
AU and Gested up front for the other team, with Tishbola and Westwood in midfield.
It's a weak defence. You've got Gallini in goal, Sissoko, Tona. You got Westwood as a holding midfield.
You got McCormack, Gested, and AU up front. That's not bad.
But it could be seven aside because McCormack might not make it for them. They might have to sub in.
I mean, you've got the improved midfield of the Inns. But then what have you got up front? It's all on Hogan's shoulders.
It's all resting on his knees.
I mean, here's the thing about the players that we've got rid of. Surprising amount of them have gone up to the Premier League. When you look at Guzan, Traore, Gested, Westwood.
And Guzan signed a pre-contract. He's going to the MLS, isn't he? He's been shipped out by Middlesbrough already, I think.
But and AU as well. But it's not as if, like...
Not like the crown jewels have gone out the door, is it?
No, but I'm talking about it's not as if they were so... These players were so bad that they let us down and then we sold them to other championship teams. It's like, oh, no, they've gone back up to the Premier League because actually Premier League teams still rated them as players, which kind of says a bit about Villa. That was the lie detector. Some of the players I think we could have got more out of. I'm talking about the last two or three years as well.
Yeah, certainly I think that only Villa, and it is classic Villa, could take a proven 20-plus goal striker in McCormack. I mean, granted, something's happened outside of our control there, but he's left under a real cloud with no goals. I mean, that's not been anywhere else in his career.
No, this is the first time he's turned to shit all of a sudden. But talking about that Bruce meeting, I mean, I went there and questioned him on... You know, why have we got the lowest amount of shots on target in away games? Why is the away form so bad? Why have we only scored three goals from set pieces? And Bruce wasn't even defensive. He was like, yeah, it's terrible. And you had the feeling that, in a nutshell, he was very honest. I mean, ridiculously honest. I mean, sometimes when we write things about the reality of what's happened at Villa, we get called negative. Well, if you think reality is negative, then the reality dose that Bruce gave us, some fans would blow a gasket because it would be negative.
There is a reason why we're 13th in the Championship. It's about looking at the facts that Tony's eyes on a desperate positive PR exercise, and that's good. We do need to change the mood and the outlook at the club. A lot of money's been spent, but we're as bad as ever, and Brentford is evidence of that.
No, I mean, Bruce didn't mess around. It's going to obviously happen one day, but if Bruce leaves, I would not be surprised if it's on his own volition that he walks rather than him being fired for not achieving whatever.
There is a poisonous fog almost lying over the club, isn't it? It's a weird thing that we, you know, how many teams get that bounce? I mean, we didn't really get the bounce under most of our recent managers. We never have that bounce, do we?
I mean, Bruce kind of grinded out some results. We played terrible in him, but he's still got the results.
Yeah. I do think he's the right manager for the job, and I think you're right in saying that if there's a problem here, it will lie with other things behind the scenes, whatever they may be. Could it be personalities? I still think we're terribly burdened by players who have been consistently mediocre, and that's the one reason why people have us down for bagging your Westwoods and whatnot. Well, they can only be associated with us failing.
But I mean, I think the board have done a very good job in getting rid of a lot of the squad. And
it took 6 months.
And when you look on paper at the two winders, in terms of Tony Zai and the actual Villa board on doing what their manager would have wanted them to do, I think you can't really fault them. I mean, obviously, Zai, big mistake with Di Matteo, because that was certainly his decision. But beyond that, he's pretty much done everything you could ask.
Presumably, you'd have to rely upon the fact as well that he must have had the final say on players like Gallini. He couldn't have ever imagined that Delac would have got a season-ending
injury. We're talking about somebody
injury.
Who's not experienced. I mean, he's only started supporting Villa this year. People tend to forget about that. Not this year, last year. last year it was just a business decision. He decided to support us 2017.
It's when he unsupports us that we need to worry.
There remains a question. Bruce, there's about, I don't know, six or seven of us in that room, mixture of, like, people who have websites, Lions Club people. To be fair, it's a good group. We all know the situation, and Bruce knew the situation. The thing is, I still haven't seen any evidence of actually Bruce applying himself to fix the situation, because you could argue that we still had OK players. starting from the summer onwards. And put it this way, a lot of fans of other teams are saying, well, this is ridiculous. You've spent 55 million, which, as we said last time, is more than Real Madrid and Newcastle and Villa together spent more than the rest of the league, you know, put together.
There's a huge culture issue, and I think that's apparent. And again, this isn't a dig, it's an observation more than anything, that if you want someone to grind us out of this situation and drag us kicking and screaming however out of the Championship, I don't see players like Jack Grealish being the player to roll up their sleeves, get muddy and do that. And yeah, I haven't seen enough to... They've got quality and qualities, but...
I mean, the word on the street is Bruce and Dr. Zayas wanted Grealish gone. They weren't that bothered, obviously because of the history of trouble, but also... He's not going to be a game changer for us. Grealish obviously supports the club, yeah. And I think he dug his heels in.
Well, I've got nothing against that, and I'm sure that there is a good player within him. But there's also the elephant in the room of, is he the player that Bruce is looking to accommodate in a 4-4-2 system? Because I don't naturally see him in that.
No, I don't.
And
as my barber said today, what was all that big kerfuffle about him choosing England over Ireland? Because he's never going to play for England.
I think that's
kind of spot on, actually.
Well, it's kind of like the Amavi, he's going to play for France debate, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's not a conversation going on in any French bar anywhere in the world, is it? You know.
Something else I've been thinking about is some of these players, unless we're buying Championship players here, and some of them are getting their wages double, treble, quadrupled. And suddenly, are they now on Easy Street? And now they're thinking, "Well, I've made it.
Yeah.
I've made it. I'm on the gravy train." And suddenly, their kind of application and will is not what it used to be when you're trying to get onto the gravy train. And so, it's going to be interesting to see how Hourihane steps up, if he steps up, because he's still on the verge of getting in the Island team.
He seemed a passionate. He seems a passionate guy. I've seen a few games, and he was clearly
bothered by all his interviews and whatever. Yeah. I never pay any attention to that. Oh, it's a massive club. Oh, it's great. Blah, blah, blah. Because
media spiel.
Just go back the last five seasons. All of these schmucks that have come into the club have said this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to bang him out, but it's all. Not literally, anyway.
No, save that for another day.
But it's all they have to prove themselves, essentially.
The thing about that I never get with is Villa, that we've got a great opportunity, and some of these players have got a great opportunity to make a real name for themselves. You know, not just at this club, but get Villa back to the Premier League. Yeah, I think there'd be a culling, but I also think that you could really, you know, look how the careers of players like Platt were launched off the backdrop of getting up last time with Taylor. That's outside of some people's memory, but is that motivation as a professional there? And I do believe it is still there. They're richly rewarded, but we just need to get together an 11 that is.
I don't agree.
You don't think that there's.
I think once they're getting paid all that money, the perception changes. They're thinking about property, they're thinking about cars, they're thinking about investment, maybe if they're a bit clever, or they're thinking about, you know, drugs and hookers and Dubai and all that kind of stuff.
Allegedly.
And suddenly, this idea of, like, I want to win the FA Cup, and, you know, people don't care about the FA Cup anymore. Even fans don't care about the FA Cup.
I suppose maybe that's
and
a romantic
only,
image only in my own head.
Only two or three teams can possibly win the league, unless some Leicestershire miracle happens. And so, football being about winning. I mean, Lansbury can come and do his interview and say, what's the point of playing if you're not winning? Mm. Well, when's his last experience of winning? He's been playing most of his, well, especially in his Forest days, kind of losing more than he's winning, so it's all.
What are you suggesting here, David?
We're doomed. I mean, if you don't know already, then you're a bit slow to the party.
Christ.
The doomsday party. But no, I mean, so there is that concern that these players are on. They're now on, as we call it, the gravy train, and that's why a team like Brentford, who are all like playing together, I mean, they completely destroyed us. Could have been more easily.
Well, they hit the bar and they overran us three or four other times. I mean, the less said about it, the better.
And they're a pub team.
Oh no!
No, it's true. Anyway, we will be recording another one after the Forest game, so we'll talk more about the Brentford and the Forest game. I mean, we could preview the Forest game now, but who gives a shit?
McCormack's not eligible, so he can't score his hat-trick against us just yet.
And Tishbala's not going to score a wonder goal against us either. But we'll talk a bit more about the transfers and also what the season potentially holds. But I think seeing another game will be useful in terms of Lansbury can play.
A proper formation. and a proper midfield and change the fullbacks.
So in the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends as well. I mean, there's still people out there who are scared by podcasts because they think there's this kind of technological thing that they can't access. But just tell them like it's on-demand radio and all you've got to do is press play.
That is literally all you've got to do.
Yeah, on whether it's a link on Twitter or on iTunes. People are a bit scared of iTunes because they don't use it. And so on Android, you can get this pretty much anywhere. Just go to TuneIn, which is the biggest radio app, or Play.fm, or Acast, which it's hosted on, Stitcher, whatever podcast things are they.
Podcast Addict.
Just search for My Old Man Said and it'll pop up. So you can get it on any Android phone, anywhere. It's just Google it as well. And also, if you want to support the show and become a patron, it'd be great to get up to 100 patrons. Go to myoldmansaid.com and go to patron in the menu bar. And if you're on a mobile, to get to the menu bar, just click on the left-hand side. There's a little square with, is it three or four lines? And then the menu bar will come up. And just click on patrons there. And we'll join you shortly in the next few days. So until then, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye, Villa fans.
My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.